Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we are thrilled to be your host for these conversations.
Our guest today is Vivian Nunez. Vivian is a Portland-based writer, public speaker, and content creator. She is the founder of Too Damn Young, an online community and resource site for grieving young adults. Vivian writes and creates content that reminds her community that going through hard things, navigating your mental health, or your grief doesn't disqualify you from having a happy life. Vivian has spoken at the United Nations and has been featured by Instagram and on platforms like Forbes, Mike, and Well and Good. Vivian also hosts a podcast called What Happened After. Vivian, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
I'm so happy to be here. What a great way to start 2021.
Thank you. So, Vivian, before we speak about your work, may I ask you to share your personal grief experience and how it led you to it?
Yeah, of course. I feel like there's no way to do one without the other. So I lost my mom when I was 10 years old, and it's going to be actually 18 years on Sunday, January 10th. And that in and of itself was a very unique experience as a 10-year-old to go through. I was pretty much the only person I knew for a very long time who had ever lost someone, but especially who had ever lost a parent. And my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, took on legal guardianship of me at a young age, right when my mom passed away. And as she grew older, you know, she was 75 when she took on legal guardianship. As she grew older, so did I. And eventually I became way more of her caregiver than her mine. And when I was in my early 20s, 20 to 21, she got especially sick, and that really shifted my role as her primary caretaker, where I was making way more medical decisions for her and ultimately end-of-life decisions that I definitely didn't envision myself making as a senior in college. And that's really when my whole career shifted, because I'd been going into school for a marketing major, minor in journalism, very, very gung-ho on making sure that I was going to be a magazine editor. And then life happened, and I suddenly was the owner of this entirely new language on ICU talk, and being thought of as someone who was pre-med in school. Are you pre-med? Was the question I always got from doctors. And I'm like, furthest thing from it, I'm like business major. And that though was a very big moment. I was interning at a Hearst publication at the time. And I couldn't fathom the idea of continuing down that path, because so much of what I was finding was that there was deeper meaning in my grief that I needed to explore on a personal level, but also that I realized I could give way to on a really communal level. And so I started Too Damn Young about 2-ish months after my grandmother passed away, out of this need to find other young adults who had also lost someone they loved, because there was this huge discrepancy between having lost as a child and also as a young adult. And even as a young adult, I didn't find anyone else to connect with who had similar lived experiences at so many different identity points. So for me, the answer was Too Damn Young. It was writing. It was creating that sense of community on the internet in a place that felt really accessible for someone as introverted, shy, and as unique in the path of lived experiences I had lived as I did, because the reality was there every other 20-something my age wasn't living through the same things. And the internet felt like this place where I could cast a wider net on trying to find those people who I could connect with.
I'm curious, when you started Too Damn Young and you mm-hmm. started doing this writing and you cast that net, did you find that community? Did you make any connections? And was there anything that surprised you about it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I went into it knowing that I was A, casting the net, but thinking I was only going to do it for a couple of months, right? Like I was in my senior year of college when my grandmother passed away, and I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself the summer. I am tired, I'm exhausted, I'm anxious, I'm like dealing with a lot in therapy. And come September, I'll look for a 9-to-5 and I'll try to like get my life and quote unquote back on track. Then September came around. I loved Building Two Damn Young, and I was like, you know what, I can't fathom going in the direction, because that net that I had cast ended up being this really amazing space that I didn't know existed before, and that I was slowly carving a space in, right? Because I was at that time pretty much one of the only people on like the influencer side of culture who was talking about grief in the way that I was, who was, you know, using Instagram's captions as like these really long essays and mini blog posts, and sending people over to a website where talking about grief wasn't scary and it wasn't all sad, right? It was like this dynamic up and down of, I remember some of my first posts were talking about the fact that like my grandmother's borrowed bed from the hospital that we had in the apartment had to be taken away after she passed away because it was a rental. Just the concept of like a hospital bed having to leave and having that empty, like physically empty space where she used to be in really tangible ways. Like, what does that look like to 20-something-year-old? So for me, finding those connection points with people and building that community slowly is ultimately also what led me to get noticed by Instagram and by other publications as like, oh, you're carving out this space that maybe hadn't historically been used in the same way on like a platform like Instagram or the internet as a whole, but that was connecting with a lot of people's stories in ways that for a long time we felt had to be hidden, right? There was so much about being a caregiver at 20 something that felt like I had to hide and pretend like I was carrying it in a way that was much more seamless than I actually was. And a lot of that also came down to the fact that my professors didn't understand, that the overall hospital culture didn't understand what it was to be my age. I wasn't choosing this. I really was a cultural nuance of like, there was just no other option. And also I wouldn't have wanted another option in terms, but I would have appreciated more support. And so I think that those are the gaps that I kept seeing, that I was like, there's no way I could shy away from something like this. And continuing on that path felt like the right thing.
You know, what we're connected with was Actively Moving Forward and the program that we do. And this is the story we hear from so many young adults, because it really is. I for years, have worked with bereaved children and teenagers. I've worked with adults, you know, with spousal loss and a number of different things. It's almost like that young adult period is, it really is sort of like the forgotten period. We don't think about that there's actually more than we know who are going through these types of situations, but they're not talking about it. Research proves it out, right?
I think culturally we still think of death as something for old people. So we don't see a child whose young mother or father die as something that happens. I mean, it's like one of the few, when in fact, Andy, as you pointed out, it's really one of the many, unfortunately, especially now that families are getting so much older, that more and more younger people are experiencing illnesses and deaths of a parent or both at a much earlier age.
What a gift you're giving people, I guess, is my point, is that you're giving voice to their experience. And because so many don't talk about it because they don't hear anyone else talking about it.
You know, and that's what you asked the question too, what was the most surprising thing? I think even now, I mean, it's almost been 7-ish years since I started Too Damn Young. And I still find it that the most surprising thing is that people think that this is like revolutionary, right? Like that the concept of Too Damn Young is something that is so wild that they cannot believe it came to be. And I'm always like, you do understand, like the simplest, I ask the simplest thing, which is simply like, do you want to talk about the person you lost? That's the ethos question of this entire platform. Do you want to talk about it? If you do, great. Here's a space where you can do that. The novelty of that is the reason why we have such a really labored relationship with grief, because the fact is the question is so simple, but also so difficult to sit through, because we're not talking about it on a society level. We're not teaching people how to be on the other side of that conversation when they haven't lost someone, but they need to be an active listener to someone else. And I think that that's the gap that I kept on seeing more and more. And the way to close that gap wasn't necessarily to just say to people, here's how you are on the other side. It's here's how you are on the side of the person who needs to talk, and here's how you claim that space, whether someone is giving it to you or not. it's okay sometimes if it feels one-sided. Like on the internet, there are many times where it feels one-sided, where it feels like I'm putting it out there, but that's good for me. And then it is magic that someone else connects with that and is able to really claim space within that too.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
Tell us more about Too Damn Young. So is it blogs? Is it where people can participate in articles or comments? Or tell us just a bit more about the space.
Yeah, so when I started I did start it just with my own writing, but that was more of a, by default, I was the only person I knew who could write about it from that. Like, I was the only person I knew who had lost a parent and lost someone. But the intention was always to create a space where other people could join in and write about things. So people, young adults, teenagers contribute their own content. So they'll send over emails with their essays, their poetry, and we'll be able to publish that. And it is also a resource. I always describe it as both a community in the sense of actually having that community component and that content component, but also a resource where I'm able to just create these buckets of here's these places where you can go and hopefully find things in an easier fashion than when I was searching for them. And I think that those connection points are what makes a difference. Right now, I'm actually going through a rebrand for Too Damn Young with the intention of making that even more seamless, because I think, you know, we were talking right now about how that young adult demo is a forgotten demo, but I also really think that in addition to that demographic being on the age side, I also think that the forgotten is anyone past the 1 year anniversary mark. Right. Anyone who is like at the 5 year, at the 10 year, at the eight, like I'm 18 years in on Sunday. And I think that a lot of content is catered only to that 1 year, as if that's the only year that it resonates for you. But people want to see people at different stages of their grief and what does life look like 18 years in to having lost your mom, you know, and how does it navigate? How does it manifest? What's that relationship look like? And the more that we can pull the curtain back on that, I think that's also really a really generous thing to do to the world, no matter what point in your grief you're in, because that's the scariest part, especially as a young adult, right? If you are 16 and you lost your mom, you're not only thinking about what is life at 16 without my mom, what is life at 17 or 18, you're thinking what is life at 20 something? And what does that look like for a 20 something year old who has a couple years in her of having lost that person?
Yeah. And so on and so forth. I mean, in my 30s or my 40s or when I'm, you know, all of that piece, it's interesting because what it does is it challenges the kind of the stage model of you grieve and you go through these things and then you move on. And that is not how anyone I know experiences the death of people in their lives. They don't. It becomes a part of their life and they journey with it. Really the rest of their lives. And so it really is, you know, challenging that idea somehow. I think our world needs a new paradigm. And there are a lot of us been having this conversation for a number of years here, and certainly glad to have you saying these things, because it's something that a lot of us have recognized that it also puts people at a place where you look and you say, my gosh, it's been 16 years and I got upset over this as if there's something wrong with you. Like it's not a normal human reaction to say, you know, wish my mom was here right now, you know, or was part of this or how that somehow impacted the decisions I'm making right now. All of those things.
1,000%. Yeah. Like Fran just mentioned too, in terms of our perception of loss is so anchored to age, right? To having this idea that older generations are the one that lose. And I think that that's also the same stone we're tripping on in terms of if our perception is that only older people lose people, then our experience with how long grief lasts is much shorter. Right, because the point at which we lose and the point at which we are the ones who pass, that gap is much shorter versus if I'm 10.
Lifelong.
Right, if I am 10 and I am 28 now, like hopefully with a very long life ahead of me, then that grief, it becomes a lifelong journey, right? And so we're not having that conversation that normalizes this idea that there are, for that, for many people, there is a moment in which you realize this is a lifelong journey.
Yeah, it's no longer, you know, people that are 3/4 through their mm-hmm. life or even halfway through their life. I mean, I'm just being redundant to what you said. It is a life of grief. And mm-hmm. and how do we manage that, and how do we be okay with that, and how do we have others be okay with that, not to think, why are they still thinking about that? You know, it's mm-hmm. it's been years. I remember I have a girlfriend, and maybe 20 years ago, she was grieving the death of her brother and her father from 10 years earlier. And I would think to myself, you know, when are you going to get over this? Until I had my own grief experience, mm-hmm. until my dad died. And I got it. I understood. I get emotional, you know, 20 plus years today just thinking about him. So it's really that education that it is a lifelong journey. And yes, to your point, we're starting very young.
Well, I think calling it out. I mean, part of it is calling it out like we're talking about doing, because again, to me, there's someone out there who needs to hear someone speak what they're experiencing so that they can say, you know what? That's it. That's what I've been walking around with. I've said for years, I'll walk around in a public place, anywhere, grocery store or wherever it may be. And sometimes I just to myself, every third person I pass, I think to myself, that person is dealing with something. Mm-hmm. They are dealing with a loss in their life. It is very significant. Because what happens is people who are dealing with it, they bury it because mm-hmm. they don't think it's okay to say that they're still impacted, right?
Yeah. And it's like this, what I've been thinking about a lot too, especially in my writing, is just this idea that just the way we talk about grief in that 1 year gap, we talk about grief, right? We talk about grief being like the overpowering emotion in a person's life immediately after loss. It's 100% of everything. And which is true, right? It is overpowering because it's new. And this is like this new shape that you're trying to figure out how it fits into your life and what it looks like. But I think that the service we do is that in talking about it as this 100% thing that first year, we don't talk about how in the next following years, that percentage goes up and down. And there's years where it's 100, there's years where it's 90, there's years where it's 10, but there's also life involved. Right. And the life that folds around it and that navigates around it. I think that that's what people want to talk about too. It isn't just like, how does grief show up at 15 years? I don't know if my 15 can be different than yours, but the reality is that as a 21-year-old who is learning to drink, right. Or as a 28-year-old who's like feeling like more of an adult than not, a lot of those life experiences are the same. Yeah. And those are the life experiences that then have to make room for grief that may pop up. So the more that we can, to your point, normalize life as an experience, then we can fold grief into how this is kind of bending and folding into it.
Yeah. And the grief is a part of that. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I had someone tell me several months ago, I was having a conversation with someone. They said, you know, when my person died, shortly thereafter, someone was very well-meaning. It was a chaplain or someone said, you know, grief last the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And she said, he thought, oh my, what? Like, what are you talking? Mm-hmm. And it was distressing to her, right? And it's where I have conversations with people to say, our language really matters.
Yes. You know,
grief is this thing that we do fold into our lives, but it's different intensities at different times, mm-hmm. all these things, but it's life, right? And so, you know, how do we articulate it in such a way that it coincides with what our experiences really are in life. And to me, that's a big piece of it too, is what does that look like and how do we do that?
And there's power in the stories, right? I think that that's what I always come back to. It's that I'm such a writer, right? And so the dream is always books and the dream is always creating a career as an author. And I always think about how I would never be able to write a prescriptive book about grief. Because there's just nothing that I can say to someone else about how it's going to look like at that 18-year mark. And I don't think that that's my place in it. I think my place is in the storytelling, because that storytelling, in the nuances of my life, you will find something that you will relate to and connect to, because the grief feels and tastes similar, you know? Like, yeah. there's stuff about it that just, it'll, even if it's not the same thing, it's something. And the more that we can tell those stories and have space for those stories to hold, that's where we see the connection points and where we see what grief looks like at those different marks, because we're able to see what it looks like for different people.
Well, Vivian, this has been a great conversation. We actually only have a few minutes left. Our time just flies when we're having these great conversations. We wish we could just go on forever.
I know.
Before we do end our time, people who are chiming in, they want to know how they can connect with you and your work, and how might they do that?
Of course. So you can find me on Instagram at Viv Nunez across all social media. I'll make sure to send those links over too. And then TooDamnYoung.com is the community and resource for young adults. Viv Nunez is where I publish my own writing. But I'm pretty much easily found on the internet, which is the best place to be sometimes when you're trying to have these conversations.
Vivian, again, thank you so much for being a guest here on Let's Talk Death and for sharing the inspiration behind your work and your personal journey.
Of course. Thank you all for having me and for making this space. Like you said, it brings everything full circle.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org. To find other conversations or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.